Is this thing on? Word.
This is the Rookie Sports Report, hosted by Matthew Frizzell.
4 runs off the Detroit Tigers, who are the 10th worst in all of baseball.
And Logan Weber.
But this man was swallowed whole by a whale.
Presented by 96.9, 99.9, and AM 1060, ESPN, The Jock.
Everybody love everybody! Come on!
Pitter patter, let's skedadder for this Wednesday edition of the Rookie Sports Report podcast. Right, for those that don't know, or obviously you couldn't know, right before we hit record, I was just looking at my phone trying to think of sports headlines, and Logan just yells at me, "Pitter patter, let's skedadder, Frizz, come on, I don't want to waste my time here."
I mean, you're not familiar with the TV show that saying comes from, but it's
what's the TV show called?
Letterkenny. Yeah. You've ever heard of it? Yeah. You need to watch it. It's fantastic.
Where can I watch it on?
It's on Hulu.
Ah. What is it on Hulu?
That's fair. That's the way it is anymore, you know?
Yeah, it's just,
you know, I've been
all streaming.
It's so bizarre because, like, everything is either on Netflix or Hulu, or, you know, every other place is coming out with their own site. Disney Plus, of course, which I am 100% a fan of. HBO Max, I would be a fan of, but it is a garbage app. Designed by apparently garbage people that don't know how to run a streaming service. The thing is bad. It glitches out all the time. You can't really rewind or fast forward. It doesn't work. But like you said, pretty much everything's on Netflix or Hulu. I've been watching Criminal Minds. I don't know why, but I love those kinds of shows. I mean, like the serial killer documentaries. Like, I just watched that a couple weeks ago, actually. I watched the Ted Bundy movie.
Okay.
With Zac Efron. Just stuff like that. I mean, like, historical things just sort of really, really interest me, or things based on historical things, you know, stuff like that. So that's, I mean, it's not necessarily, like, the type of history that you and I are very, very familiar with, right? With, like, World War II and the Civil War, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, The Free State of Jones, which is on Netflix that I just watched.
That is a great movie.
Great movie.
Uh-huh.
Matthew McConaughey.
Does a fantastic job.
Kills it as usual.
Yeah.
But... I've been watching Criminal Minds because they base, right, it's all based on serial killers in this behavioral analysis unit, right, where they study serial killers, which is a real thing.
Yeah.
BAU is a real thing.
Sure.
And so it's all, they talk about, they try to catch these, you know, fictional serial killers, but these serial killers are, like, loosely based on actual serial killers in real life that they sometimes mention throughout the show, right? And so I've been watching that, and I just finished season 12.
Damn.
Yeah, there's...
You watched 1 through 12?
There's 15 seasons.
Jeez.
Well, and I watched, like, the first 7 or 8 seasons a couple of years ago and then just sort of stopped watching it. And so I picked back up where I left off.
I thought
off.
You watched 12 seasons in the matter of 3 days. I was just like, dude.
No. I started rewatching maybe a month and a half, 2 months ago.
Okay.
And I just finished season 12. Well, the first 12 seasons are all on Netflix. But seasons 13 through 15 are on Hulu for some reason. That's just how it works sometimes, you know? Just frustrating to no end. So I had to stop watching it on Netflix, and I had to use, like, the SmartCast on my TV, on my smart TV, to go to my phone to SmartCast it on Hulu because my parents have Hulu Live TV. And I can't connect my parents' Hulu Live TV to our smart TV at the apartment because it has to be under the same Wi-Fi because it's a hardwired device.
Yeah.
Now, if it's a laptop or a cell phone or an iPad or whatever, I can cast it from my phone or watch it on my phone live, no problem. It's just bizarre how that works. But yeah, I've been watching a ton of that on Hulu. But if you get a chance, if you get Hulu, give Letterkenny a shot. It is a hilarious show. My brother and my dad were obsessed with it, and I never really got the fascination with it until I started watching it. So funny. Now, I feel like I've said this before talking about this show. If you're under the age of 16...
Don't watch it. Or it's not recommended.
Yeah, do not. I don't recommend you watch it without parental approval. Because it gets a little filthy at times. It's a little bit inappropriate. Not in terms of, like, there's not, like, nudity or anything like that in it. It's, the language is a little profane. It's out there at times. But that's part of what makes it so funny, you know? It's like this random show about these dudes in Canada. Right. Oh, the show is entirely about these Canadian people. And it started out, it was just like a show that they made on YouTube. just like a bunch of people got together and filmed this thing, and they were putting episodes on YouTube. And then pretty soon it got picked up by some like random network, and they started doing it. And then Hulu paid them a boatload of money to start doing the show on their site. So like, I think there's 8 seasons of it out right now, and they just put out the trailer for the next season.
Oh, so it's still ongoing. Nice.
Yeah, it's still going on. There's 9 seasons out right now. And it's sort of weird that, I mean, it's 9 seasons, but they release them in like 10 episode increments twice a year. So really there's only been 4 seasons, and they're like halfway into season 5. So yeah, season 10 is getting ready to release, and they just finished wrapping up production for season 11. So like, this Letterkenny, they are on top of it right now. And I can't, it's so good, and I can't wait. It cracks me up.
Yeah. I need a new hobby, dude. Or at least until like the month of November, because video games right now, they kind of suck, in my opinion. With that being said, I haven't downloaded 2K, which I will at some point. I'm not going to buy Madden, that's for certain. But yeah, MLB is getting kind of boring. Call of Duty Black Ops is now getting kind of boring. I've come back to now going and watching YouTube and just watching old videos of a YouTuber called Markiplier, and I'm rewatching him play the Five Nights at Freddy's series. That's been my main drag of time, besides, of course, being here, and then, of course, working out, and then sleeping. So, yeah, maybe I should just get a Hulu subscription and start watching, what's it again, Kenny, or...
Letterkenny.
Letterkenny.
Just a bunch of, like, farm hands in Canada that just go out and they do hysterical stuff. And like, it's like separated into like these different factions as a part of this little town called Letterkenny. There's like farmers, and then there's what they call the degens, which are like the drug addicts in town that are, they're sort of strange and weird, but funny in their own right. There's like a pastor who is very, very strange, and he's a weird dude. Sure. They have hockey players, because, of course, hockey's like a big deal in Canada. And hockey players speak like their own freaking language. It makes no sense, but it's so funny to watch. And then to watch like the different factions interact with themselves, so funny. It is so funny. They're usually like 7 to 8 episodes a season that are like somewhere between like 20 and 30 minutes long, each episode is. But it's funny stuff. There's a ton of like fight scenes and stuff, and there's like a Native American reservation near the town, so like they get involved as well. It's funny stuff. It really is.
You know what's funny? How a baseball team can look so mediocre for so long, and then just all of a sudden snap into place.
Come
into fruition and somehow are contending for a playoff spot. That right now looks pretty much in hand.
I am so ready to make this new intro, Matt. I am so ready. I am so ready to put this intro together. And I might just, you know, put a little, I don't even know. I don't know if we can use the hotkeys in order to film this, in order to use this podcast. We just put like hotkeys out of program or whatever and play it. But I just want to put that clip, and I want to save it somewhere, whether it's on the desktop or whether it's in hotkeys, so that I can just click on it and randomly play it throughout the podcast at random times, just to get under your skin, just because I feel like it. Just like, hey, man, hate to say I told you so, but told you so. It's happening.
All right, folks, that's going to do it here for the Wednesday edition of the... Cardinals, once again, win against Milwaukee. They've now won 10 in a row, winning... Yep, I about said last night. Yesterday afternoon, or actually last night more likely, final score of 2-1 in favor of the Brewers. Pitching was outstanding. It was a pitcher's duel. Obviously, you can tell by the final score. Cardinals 2 runs on 5 hits. Milwaukee 1 run on 4 hits. Jake Woodford, a former first-round selection, pitched like he was a first-round selection, went 5 innings. He had no runs, 5 strikeouts, 1 walk, and 2 hits. Cardinals' offense was not that good, but it was good enough. And the pitching, man, it has been outstanding here. This 10-game stretch, really, you know. Of course, of those 10 games, not all of them have been pitcher's duel. There have been a few of them here and in between. Of course, you'd have slugfest like some of the games we saw against the Padres, but everything's just going right. And that's how it goes with teams that are on winning streaks. Like, you know, bloopers will fall for singles. Line drives won't be at people. They'll be hitting the grass. You'll get out of jams at one point. Hell, actually, in that ninth inning, the Cardinals had the bases loaded, or the Brewers, they had the bases loaded with two out, and Gallegos gets a strikeout to end the game. Before that at bat, they walked Christian Yelich to get the game-winning run in scoring position, and they got out of it. Like, everything that can go right for a team is going right for the Cardinals, and it's right place, right time. I still don't think they're going to make the playoffs, and I'll still not think that until, like I said, I see that giant X next to their name saying they've clinched a playoff spot, but it's looking pretty for the Redbirds right now.
Okay, today's September 21st, right?
Yeah,
okay, 22nd. Today's the 22nd? Yep, you're right, 22nd. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and get my notebook out. I'm going to write down what you just said for today's podcast, because I'm going to clip that also. I'm going to put both of those clips.
I'm just going to keep saying they're not going to make the playoffs until they make the playoffs.
And that's just what the entire intro is going to be. It's going to be like, we're not always right, and I'm going to play the first clip. Sometimes we're wrong twice and play the second clip. And then if you'd say it again, I'm going to be like, sometimes the third time isn't the charm, and play it the third time. It's going to be great. I can't wait. I can't believe that you were so still. You're not getting on this bandwagon. I'm not even a Cardinals fan, and I am fully immersed.
I'm not on the bandwagon yet.
The Cardinals are making the playoffs. They're going to get the second wild card spot. I believe that wholeheartedly. What helps the Cardinals' case last night? Multiple things. The first thing being the Cardinals won, obviously. 10-game winning streak now. Their longest winning streak since 2001. You know, it's only, I believe, the 10th double-digit winning streak in the history of the Cardinals organization, the longest since 2001, in which they had two double-digit winning streaks. They won 10 games between May 7th and May 17th of 2001, and then ended up winning 11 games from August 9th to August 19th of 2001. Now, the longest winning streak in the history of the Cardinals organization in modern baseball. They had like a 17-game winning streak in like 1885.
Yeah, that's not modern,
but
obviously.
I mean, and this one really isn't either. Their longest winning streak is 1935. They won 14 straight games from July 2nd to July 18th. In terms of like in the last 50 years, 1982, they won 12 games from April 11th, 1982 to April 24th. So longest winning streak in over 20 years for the St. Louis Cardinals could not have come at a better time. To top all that off, of the three teams the Cardinals are really battling with for that second wild card spot, being the Phillies, the Reds, and the Padres.
Two out of three of them lost.
The Reds and the Padres both lost. The Reds have lost back-to-back games to the Pittsburgh Pirates. What is going on?
Baseball.
Cincinnati goes out and gets swept by St. Louis and now has lost two straight games to the Pirates. They might get swept by the Pirates.
At home, nonetheless.
Not going to get it done. They're now 78-74. They're still not out of it. Four games back of the Cardinals right now. The Phillies are 4.5 games back. Padres now 5 games back. The Reds, the New York Mets, out of it. Mm-hmm. Done. Kaput. 73-78. They're 8.5 games back. They're 3-7 in their last 10 games, which so are the Cincinnati Reds. The Padres are 2-8 in their last 10 games. Meanwhile, of course, the St. Louis Cardinals 10-0. You said something that I found slightly interesting before we got on the podcast. So you still don't think the Cardinals are going to make the playoffs? But you said something like, maybe the Cardinals can catch the Brewers in the division.
It's not out of the realm of possibility.
They're 9.5 games back with 13 games left. Barring a complete and utter collapse, the Cardinals are going to have to literally win the next 5 games against the Brewers and hope that the Brewers lose every other game. The Cardinals would have to, theoretically, like, surpass the Oakland Athletics for the longest winning streak in the history of Major League Baseball.
With what the Cardinals have done over the course of the season, I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, that's not an incorrect point by any means. But I do want to point out the other reason to be excited about the Cardinals' win last night. The Cardinals win, like you said, an absolute pitcher's duel 2-1. They only had 5 hits.
Yep.
One of those came from the starting pitcher, Jake Woodford, during the course of this game. The Cardinals won this game despite Paul Goldschmidt, Tyler O'Neill, Nolan Arenado, and Dylan Carlson, who in my opinion have been the Royals' 4 best hitters over the course of this season.
Cardinals.
Yeah, Cardinals, excuse me, sorry.
The Royals wish they had those 4.
I think we're all right.
Oh, are you?
We're not winning games. But right. It has nothing. I don't think our hitting is the issue.
Fair enough.
You know, you're still trotting out Paul DeJong and Matt Carpenter occasionally.
The Royals are simultaneously warming the bench for the Cardinals right now. Carpenter will get one at bat per game, maybe.
See, and the Royals can't do that with Dozier and Carlos Santana
You guys don't have to have a pitcher batting. We have to have a pinch hitter because our pitcher bats in the National League.
Fair.
It's stupid, and I hope we don't have to deal with it in 2021, but I digress. Go ahead.
Okay. Dylan Carlson, Nolan Arenado, Tyler O'Neill, Paul Goldschmidt went a combined 0-14 last night, and you still won.
That just means everything's going right for you at the right time.
When things are going good, they're going great, you know, for the St. Louis Cardinals at the moment. When your top four batters throughout the course of this season, now that's no disrespect to Tommy Edman by any means, but Edman has not gotten as much playing time, I would say, as those other four guys. Especially because, I mean, they ran a lot of Paul DeJong and Matt Carpenter in the middle infield at the beginning of the year. After the All-Star break, Edmund really came on and was like, nah, second base is mine. This is my spot. I control this aspect of the middle infield. Same thing with Edmundo Sosa. Came in and he's like, move on, DeJong, okay? Shortstop is mine. That's just the way it is. So, but when those four guys go a combined 0-14, even in Edmundo Sosa, 0-4. Harrison Bader, 0-3. The only guys with hits last night, Tommy Edman had two of the Cardinals' five hits. Jake Woodford had one of them. Yadier Molina had one, and Rondon had one as a pinch hitter. And you won the game? Despite, like, aside from Molina and Edman, none of your other everyday guys had a hit. And you won the game. Because you got great pitching. With Woodford going five full, not allowing a single run, he had five Ks in five innings pitched. That's a great clip. You're gonna enjoy that. Alex Reyes came in and was a lights out. Struck out all three batters he faced in that inning. Cabrera came in, struck out two in his one inning of work. Garcia gave up one run in his work to Adames. It was the only hit he allowed, but right. He gave up a walk and a strikeout, and then Gallego shut the door. You got great work. Now, you still struck out five guys. Not great, especially from Gallegos, who walked two in the ninth inning. But, like you said, when things are going good, they're going great. Everything is going the way of the Cardinals right now. And it's just sort of bizarre to watch. You win one of these the Cardinals win one of these next two games. You've now won a series against the Brewers, which has been maybe the most difficult task for the St. Louis Cardinals all year. And now you're staring down the barrel of seven games left against the Cubs and three games left against the Brewers. If you manage to win this series against the Brewers, you are looking at 82-70 with 10 games left. You make the playoffs. I really do thoroughly believe the St. Louis Cardinals, barring a complete and utter collapse, barring the St. Louis Cardinals losing 10 of their next 12 games, I think the St. Louis Cardinals make the playoffs.
I want to believe. I really do. But I'm afraid of getting hurt again, like I've had multiple times in the season. It does look good for St. Louis, I'll admit. And I want, like, whenever I say I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, I hate saying that. I truly do. I don't hate the Cardinals. I'm a huge Cardinal fan. But throughout this season, we've seen the good of the Cardinals, the bad of the Cardinals, the very good of the Cardinals, and the very bad of the Cardinals. I'm afraid with them being on this streak, it's going to come to an end at some point, maybe within this week. And it won't just be like a one or two game loss and then they're back at it. It's going to be, like you said, losing 10 out of your next 12 or losing, you know, 9 out of your next 12 and somehow missing the playoffs, even though they're sitting pretty right now. So I'd say
I just don't see that likely with the way they've been playing.
I know, and that's the thing. That's the thing.
You're right. It could happen. The Cardinals go out and they win 10 straight games. Maybe starting tonight they go lose their next 10 games. That is the theoretic possibility. I'm going to sort of rotate my chair over to this table over here to knock on wood for your sake and for Cardinals fans everywhere.
Yeah. So, let me actually turn up the mic there. Hopefully you didn't just speak into an existence like we
I just made
did.
It. I made it loud. I made sure that even if you turn my mic off, the people could still hear that I was, in fact, knocking on
wood. Well, I turned
your
mic all the way up to the max level, yeah.
To make sure you could hear it. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Of course. Of course.
But here's the thing. This is what I want to talk about today when it comes to the St. Louis Cardinals. They're making the playoffs, okay? Guarantee it. I'm throwing out the Logan Weber guarantee, you know?
Hopefully it's not like the Charles Barkley guarantee.
If we could have the horn out here, whatever, you know, we can get that involved. That's what I'm doing, okay? I'm guaranteeing that the St. Louis Cardinals are going to make the playoffs. Now, they probably won't get out of the wild card, but that's beside the point. I think they will make the playoffs. What I am going to find interesting about the St. Louis Cardinals is what happens come the offseason. Because I think that there's two major things they need to do. And that is get rid of Matt Carpenter and get rid of Paul DeJong. Okay? Right now, Paul DeJong is batting 197. Now, he hasn't batted above 250 in a single season since his rookie year. Okay? His rookie year in 2017, he played in 108 games. He batted 285 with 25 home runs. 65 RBIs. That is a respectable number. You know, he finished with 119 hits, 124 strikeouts. That's not exactly what you're looking for, but you'll take that. I mean, the guy's batting 285.
Sure.
You know, he's either getting on base or he's striking out. That's just sort of the way that
that's how baseball is.
Yeah, and that's the way his entire trajectory of his career has gone. But since then, he's batted 241, 233. He batted 250 last season and now batting 197. He's got 17 home runs in 325 at-bats. He's only got 64 hits. He hasn't struck out as much. He's only got 95 strikeouts, but he's only got 64 hits. Batting 197. To top all that off, you're currently paying Paul DeJong. He's set next season to make $6 million. The season after that, $9 million. So you're paying a guy $15 million over the next 2 years who is batting 197 this year and has a career batting average of 242. I don't think $15 million over 2 years is qualified for a guy that's batting 242 for his career. And a guy who has only batted over 242 once since his rookie season. I don't think that that equates to the evaluation and the numbers that he's currently being paid. And the second thing, when it comes to Matt Carpenter, Carpenter is even worse, batting 175 this season in 120 games played, 194 at-bats. He's got 34 hits, 74 strikeouts. And this is not an anomaly that we're seeing from Matt Carpenter. He batted 180.
Us Cardinal fans know exactly what. We've seen this trend coming since 2019.
Bingo. He batted 186 in 2020 in 50 games played. He had 26 hits, 48 strikeouts. In 2019, he batted 226, 94 hits, 129 strikeouts. He has seemingly got progressively worse throughout his career. In 2012, in his first full season, he batted 294. The next season, he batted 318 in 2013. That was when he was a MVP candidate.
He finished fourth in MVP voting, broke the Cardinal record for doubles hit, which is incredible because that was held by Stan Musial beforehand.
Had 199 hits that season, nearly had 200 hits in a season. But ever since, it's just slowly gone downhill. 272 in back-to-back seasons in 2014-15, 271 in 16, then a huge drop to 241 in 2017, back up to 257 in 2018, and then, like I said, 226,
it's because
186,
he changed
175.
His approach. Because of analytics, he changed his approach.
And I don't see it turning around. He's 35 years
old. He's not going to.
No.
But I'm just saying, if Matt Carpenter hit like the way he did in 2013 and just stayed that way, he'd still be the leadoff batter for the St. Louis Cardinals. Tommy Edman would not have to be batting leadoff and playing second base.
His current salary is $18.5 million, and he has a player option, he's got a club option for next year of another $18.5 million.
Which they're going to decline.
Dump it. Dump him, dump DeJong, and you've got $25 million in payroll to work with come free agency. I don't think second base and shortstop are where you need to put that money, in my opinion. Tommy Edman and Edmundo Sosa have shown that I think those guys can become great middle infielders.
Need pitching.
You need pitching.
You can never have enough pitching. John Lester and Jay Happ are going to be free agents. They can probably re-sign Lester to a low-ball deal. But, I mean, if you're Mozeliak, and I say this every single offseason as if it's going to change for John Mozeliak, but if you're Mozeliak, screw it. Go get Max Scherzer. Go get a quality starting pitcher. Hell, if you want to, I know you're saying that shortstop isn't a big need, but hell, if Carlos Correa or Trevor Story or whoever, whatever, that's in that shortstop class is still available, go get him.
Yeah, there's not really anybody you can look at second base and be like, oh yeah, that's the guy. I mean, Marcus Semien and Cesar Hernandez are your top two free agents at the second base
position. I think Semien's going to go back to Toronto.
I would agree with you. You don't need a first baseman, obviously. You don't need a third baseman, obviously.
Really, obviously, yeah.
Shortstop, yeah, I could agree with you. Shortstop, there might be some options. You know, Carlos Correa, Trevor Story, Corey Seager is another one. Miguel Rojas, but he's got an option.
Javier Baez.
Yeah, Javi Baez, Jose Iglesias. So there's possible options there if you wanted to take a flyer at. I don't think you need. I mean, outfield could be a position of need. I don't know.
Nah, I think they're. Well, maybe a center fielder because I'm still not sold on Bader. I mean, yeah, he's a quality defender, but his hitting is hit or miss.
Yeah, he's batting .246.
Carlson's only a rookie. And,
yeah, I agree with you.
Just moving through the outfield. Carlson's only a rookie, and I feel like he's just going to get a lot better.
Yep.
And, you know, of course, the revelation of the season has been Tyler O'Neill. Man, just all of a sudden is hitting bombs, hitting for good average. He has good speed. You know, honestly, whenever the Cardinals first traded him away from Marco Gonzalez, who was a top pitching prospect at the time for the Cardinals, to the Mariners, we kind of saw him as this guy that's going to hit like 30 home runs maybe and bat like 230, 240. But, of course, we didn't know about his speed factor. We didn't know about his glove in left field. He won a gold glove last year at left field. He could potentially be a superstar. He has the tools, without a doubt. He has good speed. He can easily be a 30-30 guy while batting 280, 290. That's superstar kind of level numbers in which the Cardinals already have that, or they have the potential of that in Nolan Arenado. I know he's had kind of a down year, though. Even his down year is not bad. Batting in the 250s with 30 home runs and 100 RBIs while playing gold glove defense at third. There's a lot to be excited about for the St. Louis Cardinals. They just need to add a little bit more.
Absolutely is the case. Like you said, Tyler O'Neill batting .280, 28 home runs, 70 RBIs, and his OPS is in the top 30 in baseball. He's in the top 35 in Major League Baseball in batting average, home runs, RBIs, stolen bases.
If he didn't get injured in that latter part of like June, he would be an all-star, in my opinion. Or not an all-star, an MVP candidate. Yeah.
And, as you mentioned, is a great fielder out there in left. So maybe you go center field. I don't know. There's guys, Starling Marte, Chris Taylor. I love the Royals. I'm from Kansas City, but I was, as a young adult, right? When I was a kid, I became a huge fan of the Boston Red Sox because of Dustin Pedroia. So I'm still a Red Sox fan. I love to follow the Red Sox. Avoid Jackie Bradley Jr. with a 10-foot pole. He's awful. I can't stand him. He's a great fielder, but that's it. He can't hit for contact. He can't hit for power. I can't do it. You know, if you don't think Harrison Bader is the answer, despite him being a great center fielder, don't go out and get another guy that's a great fielder but can't hit, okay? Because that might already be your issue with Harrison Bader. Now, maybe what you could do, I don't know, he's going to want a lot of money if he decides he wants to leave Cincinnati, but there is a guy in right field.
I know who you're talking about.
For the Cincinnati Reds.
Who's been the Cardinals' father for the past 6-7 months now.
He's been everybody's father.
That's true. But more specifically, the St. Louis Cardinals.
He became a bit of a meme due to an incident in Kansas City that I'm sure most of you listening are very well aware of when he hit a drive to deep left field.
By Tom Brenneman. 4-0. 4-0 score.
Yeah, in the midst of
I consider myself a man of faith.
In the midst of a half-hearted, unnecessary apology because the guy knew he was done for and probably should have been. Nick Castellanos. Why not just take a shot? He's batting .309, 29 home runs, 86 RBIs. He's batting over .300 despite having triple digits in terms of strikeouts. And he batted .321 for the Cubs 2 years ago in 2019.
Castellanos could always hit. That's the thing.
Always.
And hit for power.
Yep.
It's just the strikeouts and the meh defense and right.
Career batting average of .278 with 163 home runs and just under 1,100 career games played.
I do like that idea of an outfield that consists of like Tyler O'Neill in left, Dylan Carlson in center, and Castellanos in right.
Could be.
And then Bader could be expendable. Or maybe throw him with Paul DeJong in a trade for some quality starting pitcher or something.
Possibly. I don't know. But I still think starting pitching is the answer.
Sure.
Wainwright did just sign a one-year deal, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, him and Yadi will have like a fair... Yadi for sure will have a farewell tour. I'm not sure about Wainwright, whether he'll pitch beyond the 2022 season. But I'm pretty sure him and Yadi are just going to kind of ride off into the sunset in 2022.
But there's, I mean, Kevin Gausman, Max Scherzer, Clayton Kershaw, Charlie Morton, Carlos Rodon.
But they also have an issue of their own in Jack Flaherty. You're going to have to extend him at some point. He's going to want a lot of money. So, yeah. Carlos, that's the thing. It's so frustrating about St. Louis. I know they have a lot of money in their back pocket from the DeWitts, and John Mozeliak knows that, yet he'll go for depth signings, and he'll try to extend guys early on in their careers as a St. Louis, as a Cardinal, i.e. Matt Carpenter or Paul DeJong, or to some extent Colton Wong before his contract expired, then he went to Milwaukee. So,
yeah, I mean, you're going to have to...
I don't know if I would rather extend Flaherty or go out and get a starting pitcher. That's the thing. It's
In my opinion, here's the thing. You say Flaherty's going to want a lot of money. That, yes, I agree with you. Here's the thing. Okay, he's pitched in 3 games since June 1st. 3. Injuries have been plaguing Jack Flaherty this year. He hasn't put together enough this season for me to be like, okay, yeah, you deserve an 8-year, $200 million contract.
What he did in 2019 will definitely be at the forefront of the negotiating table, because he was the best pitcher in all of baseball in the second half of 2019.
Yeah, .275 ERA, a .97 WHIP, 231 strikeouts. However, he went 11-8.
Well, because Cardinals couldn't score for him whenever he
not going to disagree with you.
Yeah, and that stat's so overrated
because he's 9-2 this year with a 3.08 ERA.
That's still
so
great.
His ERA and his WHIP are a little bit, but
that's still pretty good.
It's a limited sample size.
Yeah, I know.
You know, he pitched pretty consistently from the beginning of the season, April 25th against the Reds, through May 31st against the Dodgers, and was good. And then he was out for the better part of almost 3 months until he comes back August 13th and pitches a great game against the Royals. August 18th, pitched a decent enough game against the Brewers, and then got shelled in 2 innings of work against the Tigers, got pulled, and he's been out ever since. I don't know if you want to go out and spend all your money on Jack Flaherty. And maybe that's something that you can sit down with Jack and be like, hey, man, we'll give you like a 1-year, $8 or $9 million deal. You know, you dump DeJong and you take that money from DeJong and you give it to Jack Flaherty. And then that $18, $19 million of extra money that you got from Matt Carpenter, that's what you can use to go get somebody else like a Kevin Gausman or Max Scherzer. The tough part about this free agent class in terms of this free agency in terms of starting pitching, it is old.
Yeah.
I mean, among the best starting pitching prospects in terms of free agency, Gausman is 31 years old, but then Scherzer's 37, Kershaw's 34, Charlie Morton's 38. You've got Wainwright back, who's 41 years old.
Morton re-signed a deal, though, with Atlanta, so he's not a free agent next year.
Greinke's 38. One of the better pitching prospects in terms of starters is currently Trevor Bauer. I don't think anybody's going to touch Trevor Bauer right now.
Yeah.
Merrill Kelly, 32 years old. Wade Miley, 35. Alex Cobb, 34. I think Marcus Stroman is going to... I don't know about Marcus Stroman. He could be an answer. Danny Duffy, possibly. Johnny Cueto is 36 years old. There's just... It is an old pitching staff. Corey Kluber, 36 years old. He, maybe. I don't know. Carlos Martinez is a free agent with a club option.
That's another $10 million the Cardinals are going to save.
Yeah, he's probably got 1 foot out the door. I don't know. There's definitely several different avenues that the Cardinals could take come free agency that could make their team better. It's just about whether or not they take those avenues. Carlos Martinez hasn't pitched for the Cardinals since July 4th.
Good. He was brutal in his 2 or 3 months he had with St. Louis this year. And it's sad because Martinez, Carlos Martinez coming up had such a high ceiling, had such high potential. Kind of realized it in 2015 and 17 when he was an all-star, but just seemed as if baseball wasn't his main focus. And he was kind of like Kyrie in a sense. I don't like kind of comparing apples to oranges. You know, Kyrie Irving, of course, plays basketball, but Carlos Martinez just seemed like he was more interested in doing other things than perfecting his craft.
Yeah,
it's come to the forefront here.
He's got a $17 million option coming up this offseason and an $18 million option come next year.
Yeah, well, they're going to
decline that. 2 years from now, I should say. Yeah, his buyout, however, is just $500,000.
Good. Take the $500K and you save yourself, what, $16.5 million?
Bingo. You get rid of Carpenter and you dump
Bingo.
Carlos Martinez. Yeah. That's $30 million you have to work with, at least.
I love talking baseball, especially Cardinals baseball, because at times it can be a therapy session, and at times you can just kind of theorize like, oh, man, if the Cardinals could do this, though it won't happen, but if they could do this, it'd be pretty cool. Remember like a couple years ago when Bryce Harper was rumored to go to the St. Louis Cardinals, we were all like, oh, my God, Harper, DeYoung, and, or Harper, Bader, and Carlson.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What is Andrew Miller doing? Has he been pitching?
I don't know. He's like the second, maybe even third best lefty on the Cardinals right now, or in the Cardinals bullpen, because they have McFarlane, and then they have Kwang Young Kim now in the bullpen because he's kind of in a hampered role, so he's just kind of pitching in relief.
And you're currently paying Andrew Miller $12 million.
Yeah. A lot of dead money there. A lot of the great signings by the great John Mozeliak. Or Mozeliak,
now,
people like to say here.
This, however, is the last year of his deal, so he'll be an unrestricted free agent. So that's another $12 million you're getting back. So you're up to $40 million if you let go of Carpenter, you let go of Carlos Martinez, and Andrew Miller's contract is up. That's at least $42 million in payroll that you can use.
You could get one marquee free agent with that money. Plus, I know they have more money, but I also know that they're going to start paying for Arenado's contract as well. Starting this season.
Yeah.
But still.
Which will be $35 million.
Yeah.
But you're already paying $20 million of his $35.
Sure.
So you're back down to $27, which I think you can still get one or two really good players with that money.
And like I said, St. Louis has the financial capability to do such things. It's just a matter of if they will. One team that does not have that much capability that also plays in Missouri is the Kansas City Royals. Last night, playing off against the Cleveland Indians. Indians kind of a meddling team, hovering around 500, 74 and 76. Went last night by a final score of 4-1. Cleveland 4 runs on 5 hits, no errors. Kansas City 1 run on 9 hits, no errors. Cal Quantrill got the win. Daniel Lynch, in a decent effort, got the loss. Manuel Clase got the save. And Dylan Coleman, guy from Missouri State University, which is where we're based here in Springfield, Missouri, made his major league debut and was throwing 3 digits, my guy. I wish I could do that. I feel like I'm, hot, whenever I throw it above 70 miles an hour. I like the pitching cage at the Kauffman, but no, these guys are throwing it $100. They're making a lot of dollars if you're going to throw it 100 miles an hour with sink and cut, but besides the point, Royals lose last night to the Cleveland Indians. Final score 4-1.
Yeah, and it starts first and foremost with the fact that the Royals had more hits than the Indians did last night. The Indians scored 4 runs on 5 hits. The Royals, 1 run on 9 hits. They were 0-for-6 with runners in scoring position. And that came down to literally 6 different guys that failed to get runs, to drive in runs. Salvador Perez, 0-for-1. Taylor, 0-for-1. Witt was 0-for-1. Dozier, 0-for-1. No shocker there. Nicky Lopez, 0-for-1. Kyle Isbell, 0-for-1. And here's the thing. The Royals finished with 9 hits. 8 of the 9 Royals batters had at least 1 hit. Witt had 2 hits, right? 2-hit Witt, that's what he does. Multi-hit Witt, whatever you want to call it. The only guy for the Kansas City Royals that did not have a hit last night,
their first baseman, Carlos Santana.
who's now batting below Hunter Dozier at 213.
Wow. Hey, at least Dozier homered last night. Supplying the one run the Royals got.
He's homered in back-to-back games now.
Was he getting hot at the right time? Oh,
no.
Probably not the right time.
Yeah, no. Yeah, he's getting hot. Yeah, he's batting 214, and now he decides to get hot. That's
hey,
great.
Think of where he was before.
He batted under the Mendoza line for 80% of the season. I don't want to hear it. Miss me with that. No. I can't. No. You know. No. Dump Hunter Dozier. Dump Carlos Santana, okay, and use whatever money you're paying them, because I know Carlos Santana's on a 2-year, $8 million deal, and Dozier just got...
Well, he's on a stopgap deal because they need time to develop Nick Prado. That's why he was brought into Kansas City.
I understand that, but at $4 million for that kind of stopgap, not worth it to me. And Dozier's currently in the midst of a 4-year, $25 million deal.
$4 million is nothing.
Four-year, $25 million deal.
No, I'm talking about Santana, though. $4 million is nothing in today's baseball, especially with the
Royals. It is in Kansas City! let me just... Hold on. Give me a second.
I'll say, because Santana, like, he was brought in. He had a somewhat off year with the Indians in 2020. He was brought in to, like I said, be a stopgap, be a veteran guy, so that other guys in the minors could develop, like, say, a Nick Prado. And obviously, it hasn't really come to fruition. But he'll come back next year, and if he underperforms, then they'll call up Nick Prado. Like,
I lied. I thought it was 2 years, $8 million. No, it's 2 years, 17 and a half.
Oh, so he's getting $8 million a year?
He's currently being paid $7 million. He's got the third highest payroll on the for the Royals. The third highest. Behind Witt and Salvi, for obvious reasons. $7 million. Yeah, the next closest is Andrew Benintendi at 3.8. Way too much money. Okay? Way too much money. Adalberto Mondesi is getting 2.5. All right? Dozier's getting 2.5 right now, but that contract's going to jump excessively in the next couple of years. Nicky Lopez is currently making $600,000.
Arbitration. Yep.
Batting 300. $600,000. And we're paying Carlos Santana $7 million, which will extend even further next year. If his 2-year deal is 17 and a half, it's going to be seven figures next year. 10 plus. To hit 210? No, thank you. Bye. At 35 years old? Bye. See ya. Good riddance. All right? That's just how I feel about it. Dozier's going to get paid $4.5 million next year, $7.5 million in 2023, $9 million in 2024, and $10 million in 2025.
Hey, maybe he'll turn it around.
Really? At 33 years old?
Dozier's 33?
No, he's 30.
Well, I'm saying like next year or something like that. He
Doubtful.
He's still in the prime years of his career, though. You're in your prime from like ages like what, 26 to 30?
He's in his prime batting 214?
I know he's having a bad year, but a lot of people are having bad years. Look at Cody Bellinger from the Dodgers. He's had a brutal year.
He batted 228 in limited time last year during the COVID shortened year
I don't really
count. He's got that 2019 season is just a straight up anomaly. He batted 279 in 2019 with 26 home runs. And 84 RBIs. The year before that, he batted 229.
I'm not ready to get up on Hunter Dozier yet. I give him one more year. Then if he continues to be lackluster, then yeah, I'd say it's a bad signing.
I'm just angry.
You're fuming at the mouth.
I am. Daniel Lynch, he got a little bit shelled last night.
Still went 6 innings, though.
6 innings. You know, he only had 3 earned runs, four runs total, 3 earned, 5 strikeouts. He did walk 3, but Dylan Coleman, MLB debut, did his thing.
Mm-hmm.
Went a full inning. You know, he allowed 1 hit, no walks, no strikeouts. Greg Holland came in the 8th inning, pitched that, no hits, no walks, no strikeouts. But it was a tough ask when you're taking on Cole Quantrill, I don't know how you pronounce
Cal
that.
Cal Quantrill, I think is
yeah,
how you pronounce
Quantrill,
it.
I don't know how you pronounce that name. See, he's 7-3 on the year. He's got a 2.82 ERA. He has been one of the lone bright spots for the Cleveland Indians this season. He did his thing, as he has pretty much all year long for obvious reasons. 6 2/3, 7 hits, 1 earned run, walked 2, struck out 6, and then the Indians bullpen closed the door. It just a frustrating, you know, turn of events for the Royals. They won the first two, right? Won both their games last night against, or two nights ago, against the Indians. Lost last night, is what it is. We'll see how they can turn things around today.
Yeah, both teams are in action tonight. Cardinals and Royals playing their respective teams. Of course, the Cardinals are facing the Brewers, and tonight they will face off in Game 3, first pitch being set for 6:40 p.m. Miles Michaelis will go for the Cardinals. Brett Anderson, my God. He's still in the league?
Apparently.
Good God. If he can, before I...
How many
in my spiel.
How many teams
look up how
Brett
old
Anderson?
He is. He's got... I know he was with the Athletics at
he's
one point.
He's 33 years old. He's played... Huh? He's 33. He's 33 years old, and he's pitched for the Athletics, the Dodgers, the Cubs, the Blue Jays, back with the Athletics, now with the Brewers.
I feel like Anderson's been in the league since, like, 2006.
2009.
And he's only 33?
My man was called up early in his
career. How old was he when he was called up?
I'm going to check. He was born 1988, made his MLB debut April 10th, 2009. So he was 21 years old when he got called up.
And he's still pitching in the big leagues. I remember when he and Lucas Harrell had like a feud. Lucas Harrell, a former major league pitcher from here where we're broadcasting in Springfield, Missouri. And Brett Anderson was just like, I remember when people thought Lucas Harrell was going to be good. And he like, they had like a Twitter feud for like a little bit there. But, you know, Lucas took the high road and just told him, you know, have a Merry Christmas and that kind of thing.
Brett Anderson thinks he's good. 67-73 for his career with a 4.07 ERA.
But he has had a longer career than Lucas, though. Yeah, you got to give him that. He's still pitching.
I mean, that's
fair. Yeah. But, that didn't look good. For the Royals, of course, they're facing off against the Indians. Carlos Hernandez will go for the Royals. As for the Indians, they will trot out Logan Allen. Got some breaking news here on the NFL scene. Adam Schefter reports Bears head coach Matt Nagy made the announcement that Justin Fields is Chicago's starting quarterback with the idea to clear out any distractions and speculation about the issue. Nagy says, we're ready to attack this thing moving forward. Of course, Andy Dalton last week got injured. Wasn't 100% sure if Dalton would start or not, if he could play. But now the Bears are going to go with their first-round selection from this past draft and Justin Fields.
We'll see how it goes. I don't know. I am very, 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 very skeptical on the prospect of trotting out rookie quarterbacks.
He's going to have a tough first matchup, though. The Bears are facing off against the Browns.
And rookie quarterbacks just haven't had a lot of success this season. Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson, are currently tied for the NFL lead in interceptions with 5 apiece, neither one of which have more than 5 touchdowns to go with it. Zach Wilson has 2 touchdowns and 5 picks in 2 games played. Lawrence at least has 4 touchdowns, but Lawrence is completing 50% of his passes so far. Zach Wilson is completing 55.7. And Zach Wilson has been sacked 10 times in 2 games.
You're not going to get... I feel bad for Wilson, honestly.
Their quarterback ratings are both under 57.
Wilson's just going to be left out there to rot in New York like most quarterbacks are.
It's just, it's not going to work out the way that you want it to. You know, they are one of just 5 quarterbacks in the NFL right now that have less touchdowns than interceptions. Matt Ryan has 2 touchdowns and just 3 picks. Right now, Baker Mayfield has 1 touchdown thrown and 2 picks. You can get away with that with the team that the Cleveland Browns have right now. Matthew Stafford is killing it. 5 touchdowns, only 1 interception. But I just don't understand. Jacoby Brissett has no touchdowns, 1 pick, but he barely played in that game after Tua went down. I just don't understand why you're constantly trotting out rookie quarterbacks before they're ready. We've seen it over the last 20 or 25 years, aside from, you know, the odd exception in a guy like Peyton Manning, guys that weren't just thrust into the spotlight at the beginning of their careers as rookies, guys like Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. Who else? Who else can I think of? Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees. Guys that sat early in their career, their rookie year, maybe even their second year in the league. And then when they were ready, all right, man, here's the keys to the kingdom. Go out and win us football games, and had a ton of success doing it. Right? Patrick Mahomes, not a lot of people had faith in him when the Kansas City Chiefs took him number 10 overall. He sat his rookie year behind a quarterback in Alex Smith who did a great job. Alex Smith was a great quarterback. and a great mentor to Patrick Mahomes. And all Mahomes has done since becoming the starting quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs is go to an AFC Championship game, win a Super Bowl, and then lose the Super Bowl. He's been to the AFC Championship game 3 years in a row.
Yep.
Super Bowl back-to-back years.
Mm-hmm.
Winning the AFC Championship game each of the last 2 years, and he won the Super Bowl last year, 2 years ago now, against the 49ers. Tom Brady sat behind Drew Bledsoe for a long time until Bledsoe went down with an injury, and Brady was like, all right, now it's my time. And Brady's become the greatest player in the history of the NFL. Drew Brees became a top five passer in the history of the NFL. You know, him and Brady over the last two seasons going back and forth, each of them, you know, setting a new record for passing yards and touchdowns in a career by a quarterback every single time one of them played, right? Brees would play at a noon kickoff and break the record, and then Brady would come back at the 3:25 kickoff and break it again. That was fun to watch. Aaron Rodgers sat behind an all-time great in Brett Favre and has come out and put together what might be the most talented career from a quarterback we've seen in the history of the NFL. Will it stand? Mahomes has about 15 years left in the league. We'll see if he can get there.
Yeah.
But that's what happens when you throw, when you give guys an opportunity to learn, grasp an offense, understand the speed of the game, get comfortable with just how quickly the game moves from the collegiate to the NFL level, and you have success with that. No, you're not going to have success immediately. But how often have teams had success immediately with a starting with a rookie quarterback?
Not very.
Not very.
Man. Just now reaching the 51-minute mark. Actually, we're closing in more on the 52-minute mark. So I think it's now the perfect time for our annual, our weekly Would You Rather Wednesday segment here on the Rookie Sports Report podcast. I'm going to be honest with you, Logan. I have no idea what I'm going to ask you. So with that being said, if you have yours, you don't have yours either.
Nope.
This is great. This is great podcasting,
very,
by the
very
way.
Unprepared podcast today.
I guess so, because honestly, we've just kind of just BS'd about the Cardinals and then talked about the Royals there for a little bit. And now talking about how Justin Fields is now the starting quarterback for the Bears, and I hope he does well against the Browns. I want the Bears to win because my dad, Tom, who listens to the show a lot, he's a huge Bears fan, and he's gotten on me for picking against the Bears in the first 2 weeks of the NFL Pick'em Challenge we have on the Sports Reporters with Ned Reynolds. And it'd be hard to pick the Bears when they're going up against the Browns, but, I mean, Justin Fields at starting quarterback, you know, it's somewhat interesting. Somewhat interesting.
Yeah, something like that. Uh-huh. I think he's going to have a great career. I don't understand how he fell in this draft. I really thought that Justin Fields, in my opinion, was the second best quarterback in this draft class behind Trevor Lawrence. I never understood the hype behind Zach Wilson. But, you know, that's why we sit here and talk about it, and we're not in a front office for an NFL team. You know, that's not
something
that... Well,
we're too young, though, for that, aren't we? We're rookies here.
I mean, yeah, that's a fair point, but... something that I don't think either of us will get involved in.
Yeah. Yeah, we would rather be behind a mic than behind a desk trying to manage a team. It'd be kind of stressful. All right. I've got one for you here, and it's because I got this one just for you because you're a superhero geek or nerd.
Fair.
All right.
Not gonna disagree with that statement.
I feel like I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway, for you especially. Would you rather team up with Wonder Woman or Captain Marvel?
Captain Marvel? What do you mean?
I figured.
DC is garbage. I didn't like the first Wonder Woman movie. I didn't like the second one. All right? I had to watch both of them because my niece loves that movie. Loves Wonder Woman. She's got a Wonder Woman backpack. And she also has a Captain Marvel backpack. I want to point that out, too.
There you go.
It's funny. When my fiance and I, we moved into our apartment, her parents came down with our niece and nephew. It's her niece and nephew, but she's my fiance. We're going to get married, so.
Ooh.
I've been their uncle their entire lives. I was at the hospital the day each of them was born, so, you know, one of those things. I've known them since they were an hour old, but maybe not an hour old. I don't know.
Fair enough.
12 hours old.
Yeah.
Like that.
I'd probably go Captain Marvel as well.
But It was funny. They were at our apartment when we were moving in a couple of weeks ago, and Cambry, our niece.
Your cute niece, yeah.
Yeah, she has a Captain Marvel backpack that had all of her like stuff in it, her books and her snacks and stuff for the trip and everything, because it's like a three-hour drive from our hometown to here. And her little brother, Asen, he had like this pink like Hello Kitty backpack. And so my dad was giving her a hard time, like, Cambry, why do you have the superhero backpack and you gave your little brother the pink Hello Kitty backpack? And she's like, well, he likes it. And I thought that was hilarious. That's just sort of who she is. She's big into like superheroes and stuff like that. But yeah, Captain Marvel through and through. If I'm picking a character, right, one of them's a Marvel character and one of them's a DC character, it's going to be a Marvel character, without a doubt. There's no questions about it. Captain Marvel's a stronger character.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to go with as well. Because just overall, she's a stronger character. That's who I got.
Yeah, for people that, you know, maybe aren't as familiar with Marvel, okay? The two strongest Marvel characters are both women. Scarlet Witch is the strongest Marvel character, in my opinion. She's the strongest Avenger. Captain Marvel, number two. They would beat Thor or Hulk in a fight. It's just my opinion.
Thankfully, they don't. Thankfully, they're on the same team.
Anybody who's ever seen, which one is that? Age of Ultron? Avengers Age of Ultron?
Yeah.
Where Hawkeye goes to break out Scarlet Witch from the Avengers facility, and Scarlet Witch manages to basically send Vision to the molten core of the Earth, just sends that man like tens of thousands of feet into the planet. She's that strong, dude.
Uh-huh. I actually have another one here that'd be a lot more interesting if you don't mind me asking it.
Go for it.
Would you rather... God dang, I'm trying to find it again. I'm finding this on a website. I know this is quality content here. I can't find it on here, but I remember it. Would you rather spend 5 years in prison, your next 5 years in prison, or the next 10 years in a coma?
Dear God, that's dark.
I'll go with my answer first. I'd rather be in a coma for the next 10
Agreed.
Years. Because at least in that aspect, I'd just be sleeping and I'd be kind of just dreaming for the next 10 years and not living in hell, basically, in a prison for 5 years.
I agree. I would rather live. I mean, that's literally like picking the bad instead of the worse,
sure,
sort of thing. Like, neither one of them's good. But yeah, definitely.
Well, I threw you a cupcake with that Captain Marvel Wonder Woman.
I mean, that's a fair.
Because I knew you would side with
the obviously
MCU, yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. I definitely rather spend 10 years in a coma. You know, I don't know if they're accurate, but I've seen way too many movies and TV shows involving the prison system, and it just doesn't look like a whole lot of fun.
No, it isn't. I'd rather just be dreaming for the next 10 years, because you're just taking an ultra long nap.
I mean, I will say, like, is it like it, spending 10 years in a coma, like, it's guaranteed that after 10 years I'm going to wake up, right?
Yeah, sure.
Like,
absolutely.
It's not going to be like you're going to spend 10 years in a coma and then you're going to, you know, beep.
Flatline.
Yeah, no. As long as I wake up, we're cool. But that's a tough one. If I were to go into a coma today, dear God, I'd be 23 years old when I woke up, or 33 years old when I woke up.
I'd be 32. Missed the prime years of my life.
Yeah, that's tough.
Though I've wasted most of my prime years thus far.
Not sure my fiance would want to wait.
Physically, though. Yeah, true.
10 years for me, but it is what it is. I'd rather not spend 5 years in prison.
That's true.
Oh, man. Well, I'm sitting here like thinking of like sports would you rathers, stuff like that. So, like, okay. Here's one that I always found super interesting. Would you rather be the best player on an average team or an average player on the best team?
I've heard this question a lot, and my answers have kind of varied as I've grown up.
Like, it's sort of like, would you rather be the MVP on a team that is like a low playoff seed, or maybe like just a playoff contender, right? Not a championship contender. Or would you rather be an average player on a championship contender?
I care about winning the most, so I'd be an average player on a contending team. Because, like, here's the thing. Yeah, for your own self-preparation, having MVP kind of stats is cool, especially for, you know, your self-esteem. But in all honesty, what does it matter if your team's not going to win anything?
That's fair.
What's the point of you putting up, say, let's just use baseball for an example. What's the point of me playing for the Baltimore Orioles and batting 340 with 60 home runs and 140 RBIs? Yet we go 80-82, miss the playoffs. Every now and again, have like a 85-91 season, get bounced in the first round. What's the point? Like, you're like the ultimatum for sports when you're playing. I know you're supposed to learn a lot of life lessons while playing sports, at least at our age, like the high school level and the college level. But if you're a professional, one, you're trying to get paid, and two, you're trying to win. So, yeah. What's the point of being one of the better athletes in the league, like, say, in baseball, Mike Trout, and you not winning anything? What's the point? So, I would rather be a guy that bats, like, once again, using baseball terms, like 250, 260, maybe hit 10, 20 home runs, drive in 50, 60, but be on a team that's going to win 100 games and win championships.
I agree with you. You know, it's one of those things, like the point for it for me, like in asking the question is like, you're going to spend your career doing that.
Sure.
Right? Like, if it was just one of those scenarios, like, yeah, I would love to have like a 3 or 4 year stretch where like maybe I play on a bad team or an average team. And for me, like basketball being my favorite sport, I'm averaging 27-8-7. You know, I'm putting up MVP numbers. I'm getting paid max contracts, you know, getting the super max, all that stuff. Putting up MVP, all-star, all-NBA first team type numbers. But our team is a 7 or an 8 seed come playoff time. You know, it's a team that's winning between like 37 and 43 games. And then I can move on and be a guy that's averaging 10 or 12 points a game on a team that wins 60 games. But if I have to do one or the other for my entire career, yeah, I would rather be a 10 or a 12 point per game guy and win championships. And a lot of that is just, that just stems from sort of the dynamic of like the way sports went for me growing up. Because, you know, I grew up in a very small town, and my best friends and I, we started playing competitive basketball together when we were in the 5th grade. I mean, 8 consecutive years of us playing basketball with each other. It was the only team any of us ever played for. It was just the 8 or 9 of us for 8 years. And I was never the guy. You know, I wasn't, I started maybe half the time in middle school. And then when we got into high school, I wasn't anymore. I was a 6-man, you know, I'm 5'9", 140 pounds, right? I'm not a tremendously gifted person in terms of my size. Mine was my quickness and my basketball IQ, you know, and I could shoot the ball a little bit, but I wasn't one of the 5 best players on the team. And so I was okay with that because we were good and we enjoyed being around each other and we won a lot. And so I would be, if I was a professional, I would be more than okay with that. I agree with you wholeheartedly. You know, maybe that wasn't a great segment because we all 3 questions, we just agreed on the same thing. But, you know, it is what it is sometimes.
And we started off with just saying like, all right, you do you. All right, well, I don't have a question, so you do you. And then we talked about Justin Fields for like another 5 minutes. And then we got to Would You Rather.
Yeah, we got to do. You got to do what you got to do sometimes, you know.
Making rookie mistakes here on the Rookie Sports Report podcast.
Improvise, overcome, adapt. Sometimes you just got to roll with the punches.
I thought it was improvise, adapt, and overcome. I thought that's how it went.
Either way, you know, my dad always said improvise, overcome, adapt. It's from a Clint Eastwood movie.
Oh, I got it from like Bear Grylls.
Yeah. I think it's a Marine motto that's improvise, adapt, overcome. But this Clint Eastwood movie was always improvise, overcome, adapt. So growing up, that was the way my dad always said it. And so that's the way I say it, which is funny because that's the motto for the Northwest football team where I went to college, was improvise, adapt, overcome. And so I would always say improvise, overcome, adapt, and I would get people yelling at me all the time, like, you're not saying it right. They're like, I'm saying it the way that I was taught how to say it, okay? The way that the outlaw Josie Wales, all right, and in the Line of Fire, Mr. Clint Eastwood.
Improvise, adapt, and overcome. That's what Mr. Bear Grylls says here.
Yeah, isn't that like the Marine motto or something? Or Army, maybe? I don't know what it is. It's a military thing.
Let me check it out here real quick, right before we got here. Yeah, the origin. Originated at the time when the Marine Corps was notoriously poorly equipped and received more than its share of Army hand-me-downs. So yeah. I think it's something from the United States Marines.
I thought so.
The USMC. We got to GT. Ah! I screwed that up. We got to GTFO out of here of this podcast. So this has been the Wednesday edition of the Rookie Sports Report podcast, and all the stuttering and mumbling we've done for the past hour will come to an end. Logan, we'll do it again. Actually, no, we won't be doing it again tomorrow because you and I will be co-hosting Sports Talk.
True.
Filling in for the legendary Art Haynes and Wyatt Wheeler. And hopefully we do less stuttering than what we did here today, or at least for my sake. We appreciate all you that have tuned in here. Hey, don't let anyone tell you the odds, and we'll talk to you guys later.
Normalize breakfast for dinner.